Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 24. The word of God says as follows. Once again, Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 24. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything," can somebody this evening say, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Amen. And with that said, let's go ahead and pray. Amen. At this time, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this word. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this service. God, I thank you for every person that is in this room today, Lord Jesus. This is your time. This is your space. God, do with us whatever you see fit, whatever you need to do. God, we are aware. We are expecting, Lord Jesus, a move from you, Lord Father. We do not want to leave the same way that we came this evening, Lord. And all we can say is, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, God. All that we can do and muster this evening, Lord Jesus, so that you could move in our hearts, so that we could leave transformed and changed, Lord Jesus. Use my heart, use my mind and lips, Lord God. Let this word fall on good ground at this evening, Lord Jesus. Let your will be done in your mighty and wonderful name, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You guys may be seated, amen, this evening. Hallelujah. And the title of this message is Help My Unbelief. Amen. Help my unbelief. Shortly after the transfiguration of Jesus in chapter 9, this is right before what I was reading, as Jesus, Peter, James, and John were making their way down from the mount, we see that what had been happening with the remaining disciples below, there was a great multitude, there were scribes, there were disciples, and there was a father, and there was a son in need. And just as we read, the son had a mute spirit that would seize him, that would throw him down, that would cause him to foam at the mouth and gnash his teeth and become rigid. Matthew chapter 17, verse 15 through 16 gives us more insight. It says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Luke chapter 9, verse 38 through 40 also says, "Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, 'Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child.' And behold, the spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Amen. So through these verses, we're introduced to the desperation of a father and possibly the faithlessness of the disciples. Or maybe they weren't completely faithless, but they did lack some amount of faith. And I pray that this word helps someone's unbelief this evening, if not even my own. Amen. And I pray that with that said, I will be sharing 3 points this afternoon that I pray will help us or draw us out of unbelief if we are there or about to approach that. Number one is that in order to overcome unbelief is that we have to know what our purpose is. I have to know what my purpose is. Amen. We can say that the disciples were perhaps still in their young stage of their walk with, or faith with Jesus. After all, it hadn't been that long that they were with Jesus, though they had already been witnesses and partakers of miracles. Just in chapter 8, we read that the disciples were on a boat, and there was a great problem that occurred on that boat. They realized that they only had one loaf of bread to eat. Oh my gosh, what kind of, those are the problems that we need, that right? The kind of problems that just shake you and break you and make you quake in your boots, but that's exactly what happened there. And Jesus gives them these words in Mark chapter 8, verse 17 through 21. Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Amen. And that's a question that I pose to us today, or to you and to myself. How is it that you do not understand? How is it that I do not understand? Amen. After seeing his past works, after seeing how we've been recipients of his grace, after seeing how we've been recipients of his forgiveness over and over and over, how is it that we do not understand? Amen. We can reflect and thank God about what he's done in the past. Amen. We can reflect and thank God about what he's going to do in the future. Amen. But where is that faith and where is that thankfulness today for what he's going to do today in the immediate, in the present, in this season, in this day, or in this time? Amen. What can God do today? Amen. We get an idea from the selection of the apostles. Amen. When we consider the purpose, or when we consider what our purpose is in this the sermon of Help My Unbelief, the Bible says in Mark chapter 3, verse 14 through 15, that Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast demons. Amen. So once again, that they might be with them, that he might send them out to preach, that they would have power to heal and to cast out demons. Amen. Part of this is restated again as part of the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And that's part of our purpose, amen. And that, amen, part of what we can take from that is that God is interested in making someone whole, and making us whole, and making us complete, amen. He's interested in doing that, and how is he going to do it? By using us as instruments or as chosen vessels. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 18 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God for that ministry. Amen. We are reconciled to God through Jesus, and therefore a ministry is given to us. Amen. This ministry, you don't need to sign up for this ministry. You don't need to go to a sheet. Amen. You don't need to wait for rotation and hope that you might get picked for this ministry. Amen. The structure of this ministry hasn't changed since its inception. Amen. The ministry of reconciliation falls on all of us if we are part of the new creation. Amen. A ministry whose mission statement rests in the words of Jesus in Matthew 3, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Words which are then echoed in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, which say, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And it doesn't stop there, he says. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word and were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's the ministry of the reconciliation, amen. If we are having trouble believing or having faith, amen, I encourage you to remind yourself what your purpose is, to be near to Christ, to go out and preach the word, to tell people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to repent, and if not already done, to be baptized in the name of Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is how we break that a cycle of unbelief or how we can avoid falling into that pit. Amen. To reconcile means to restore friendly relations. It means to bring harmony. How beautiful when things are in harmony, when there's order, when there's structure. And that's what God has come to do. Amen. Or that's what the Spirit of the Lord comes to do. And on the other hand, we have sin that brings division between us and God. Now, that's the purpose of drive that wedge between us and God, to separate us from God. Amen. But God is interested in taking us out of death and into life. Amen. God is interested in taking us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's interested in not leaving us where we are, but continuing to draw us nearer and nearer to Him. Amen. This all encompasses our purpose. The disciples had been handpicked, being told directly from the mouth of Jesus what they were being appointed to do, but perhaps at that moment it just hadn't clicked just yet. Which brings me to my next point, that once we understand our purpose, we also need to understand the consequences of our unbelief. Not believing has consequences. Amen. I think we can agree on that. When we fail to believe in God, amen, we remain bound. We can remain in sickness. We remain in oppression. We can remain in pridefulness, in sinfulness, in hurt, and in impurity. We can remain in unholiness. We can remain in defeat. And perhaps what delights the enemy even more is that we remain isolated or separate from the presence of God. Amen. Or at least that's what the enemy wants to make us feel, that there's no way that I can approach the presence of God anymore after what I have done or what after I may have thought or said. But that's a complete lie of the enemy, amen. The boy could not, going back to the verse that I read in the beginning, the boy could not believe for himself. So it took his father to step in and believe for his deliverance, to intercede for him. Whatever unclean spirit was within him was interested in keeping him in a position of harm, perhaps of hurt and of humiliation. And that's, again, where the devil wants us to remain. He wants us to stay in guilt and shame and sickness and worry and bondage and in unbelief. Amen. When we consider, Lord, I need help my unbelief, this is what the enemy wants us to stay and to stick in. Amen. God cannot work where there is unbelief. God cannot work where there is unbelief. And I can tell you this evening that we can't afford to fall into unbelief. We can't afford to remain in unbelief. The Bible says very specifically that when Jesus returned to Nazareth after teaching in the synagogue, Matthew 13:58, and also Mark chapter 6, verse 5 through 6. Matthew first states, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their what? Because of their unbelief. And Mark chapter 6, verse 5 through 6 goes on to say, now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the village in a circuit teaching. The people referenced in these passages above were too busy questioning how could Jesus be teaching these words. They were too busy questioning his family. They were too busy questioning, oh, well, I saw how he grew up, or I know what his parents do, or I know where his dad works, or I know what his line of work is. They were too busy questioning what he was or where he might have gotten this knowledge from to realize that the healer and the deliverer and the savior was standing right in front of them. Amen. And sometimes we too get caught up in other matters or disputes to realize that healing, deliverance, and salvation stand right in front of us. Sometimes it's here at the altar, amen, where we can come up and we just come up because we just don't want to be the person left back in the chair, amen. But sometimes if we could come up and we could just have, amen, just an ounce of faith, if we could just have just a little small, like a mustard seed of faith, right? If we could just have something tiny to start with, God can move with that. But there's a problem when there is faithlessness or when there is unbelief. Again, God cannot move in unbelief, no matter how much He wants to help you. Amen. I'd like to say that I've been echoing these words, Lord, help my unbelief, over and over. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. And if it applies to you, praise God. But I can say it for myself that, again, considering the move out here from California to Georgia, through it all, Lord, help my unbelief. Like, people would ask me, well, you know, what's your plan? You know, we're just going to move and God's going to do the rest. Lord, help my unbelief. What are you going to work in? You know, that's always an important question for a man, right? Or for anyone, for that matter. What are you going to work in? How are you going to provide for your wife or your son? Like, I have no clue where I'm going to work. But I know that God is going to provide something. And again, I would tell myself, Lord, help my unbelief. And it's a continuous thing that if we could just push every time where something comes up and say, Lord, help my unbelief, I think even with just those words alone, God will help you and God will respond to your need. He will respond to your plea, to whatever it is that you think is impossible, amen. God can make it work. God can see it through, amen. But we just need at least an ounce of faith to help him work in our lives, amen. I know and I understand, amen, that his thoughts are not my thoughts. I know that his ways are not my ways. I know that his ways are higher than mine, amen. But I also know that God called me like Abram, or God's called us like Abram. And if he tells me to go somewhere, I need to go. Because he is the father of faith, right? We understand that he had the faith to just leave whatever land that wherever his parents grew up or wherever he grew up. And he did it, and he was blessed because of his obedience. Sometimes we have to have that faith, amen, even if it seems just crazy or implausible in our minds, but we have to have the faith to believe that God can heal, that God can move us into something better, to something greater, amen, and just continue to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 says that he is the rock and that his work is perfect. His work is perfect. And we can trust in God's work, and we can trust in God's plan for our lives, amen. We know that he is the rock, that we are standing on a solid rock, that we are planted, or however you want to put that word in there, but that he is a rock and that his work is perfect. I remind myself that it is God that provides for my family and for myself, that it is not me, that it is not my strength, that it is not my will or my intelligence or whatever it is that I could have, but it is only God and God alone, amen. And I remind myself also that it is not by my might or nor by power, but by his spirit. And that it is only by his spirit that we can conquer, we can continue to advance. If we can go back to the scripture that I was reading, there was a man who only had a boy, or he had an only boy. This man's story could have ended differently, perhaps, or documented differently. Maybe he could have said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And perhaps the next verse could have been, he then departed because of the man's unbelief. But that's not what we see happen. Praise God. Immediately the father of the child cries out and says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Yeah. Amen. And I ask you this evening, how important is your request to the Lord? How important is whatever need you think you have inside of you, or you actually do have? How desperate are you this evening to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3 says, beware, brethren, verse 12 through 15. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast till the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The deceitfulness of sin causes our hearts to be hardened. Or in other words, for if you were to hear the word of God, or if someone were to approach you with the word of God, that you would be more likely to obey. Like, hey, leave me alone, man. I don't know. Yeah, that's cool. You do that, but I want to live my own way. Or I just don't think that's real enough, or that's true for me. Amen. To deceive is to make you believe something that is not true for a purpose that is misleading. I know that we were in prayer yesterday, and Jake ended prayer by praying over attacks or lies of the enemy to make us believe or fathom that the miracle that we had already received was not true. So this ties just in with that. That's the interest of the enemy, is to deceive us, is to make us fall into a belief or a faith that is not of God, that is not from God, that is not God, that is not the word of God. So this needs to be a daily reminder, a refresher, that I will not allow sin to harden my heart to God's work. Amen. That I will not allow the enemy to harden my heart to God's work. Or as Pastor said on Sunday, I pray a prayer of faith so I can live. Amen. There is life when we believe. There is life when we believe. And this is the life. Amen. This is the life. Hallelujah. This is life that we walk in, transcends whatever is before us. Amen. Yeah, it's. I want to plan for retirement, sure. I want a better house, a bigger house, sure. I want a good career, sure. But that is not the end all be all of life, because I know that there is a time appointed for all of us, you know, that one day, That's it, you know. And I know it's hard. I apologize if it comes out as a joking way, but it's unfortunately or unfortunately for us, that one day we are all going to leave this earth, and everything that we have built on or built for may be for our family, maybe not. Maybe somebody else will come in and plow it, or maybe a natural disaster will come and take it all away. But all we know that is if we can remember that the Lord is our rock and that His work is perfect, if we could believe at least with an ounce and to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, amen, that there's going to be something waiting for us at the end, amen, and for us to be in the presence of God, for us to be able to sing, amen, for eternity, to worship and praise God on and on and on. But we can't allow the enemy to harden my heart, because there are greater things in the kingdom of God than anything that this earth, that careers, that work, that money or homes or cars can offer or give to us. Amen. I tell you this evening, choose life, amen, over death. Hallelujah. If we know what our purpose is, we know what the consequences of unbelief are. And for my last point, all I can say is that we have to get tired of not believing. We have to get tired of not believing. Yeah. Just a few weeks ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I believe, that it was on a Sunday service, and Jake was up here. He shared something, there was just a beautiful atmosphere of praise at the end of the service. And I remember that I had told God that there was something that was in my heart, and I told God, I am tired of not believing, or I am finished not believing. And at that moment, I don't know, Drake had asked me a question. He had asked me, we had asked us the week before, like, how we had felt in church, you know, if we had felt welcomed. And I said, yeah, we had. But the way that I felt the presence of the Lord that day, since I've been here, I then went to tell him, I think, the Wednesday service after that Sunday, it said, it's great to be welcomed by the people of RAC. Everyone has been so kind to myself, my wife, and my son. But when I get welcomed by the presence of God, amen, that's just over anything, amen. That's just over everything. And I remember Jake saying, you know, I challenge you guys to step out of your chair or do something different. And I remember I was in my chair and I was like, well, I'm already a little bit out. I don't think I need to go any further, you know. I'm already jumping. I don't know what else, you know, I can do. And then I see Steven was part of it, and Drake, and I don't remember who else, but you guys were, like, running around. And then you guys pulled me, and all of a sudden... And all of a sudden, I felt, I don't know, this overwhelming joy and this peace that came from the Lord. And I knew that there was more to it, but I, out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, Drake turns around and prays for me. And I lost it. I told my wife, I felt like Mateo. I felt like my son at that moment, crying before in the presence of God. And I share this with you guys because sometimes... You can see us, you know, playing or involved in the ministry or whatever perception you have of me or anybody else that you see up here, or maybe that's sitting in the chair or in the pews, amen, you know, whatever that may be. But unbelief can still creep up on us, or that thought of, well, maybe God won't, or maybe God can't, amen. But when that comes along, remember your purpose. Amen. Remember the consequences of not believing, and be tired of not believing. Amen. Be tired of not believing. I share that testimony with you guys because simply because when we decide to say, I am tired of not believing, even that, God works with that. Clearly He worked with that with me, and I praise God for that. But to end, or as I begin to close, Mark chapter 9, verse 25 through 29, which is just the end part of that, the scripture that we opened with, says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to him, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And with that, I tell you guys, and myself as well, that we cannot settle for being part of a faithless generation. That we have to get tired of believing just enough to call ourselves followers of Christ, but not believing enough to effectively pray for someone's deliverance. Amen. Or we perhaps have to get tired of believing just enough to be involved in all the church activities, but not believing enough to be involved in the spiritual kingdom activities. Amen. There are things and matters, again, that our physical eyes cannot see. There are things that only prayer and fasting can accomplish. So getting to know God at a greater capacity is crucial for our effectiveness in God's kingdom. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 14 that God opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. Amen. At the end of that chapter, the disciples gathered the church together and they started sharing all the works that God had done. But when I think of a door of faith for the Gentiles, meaning that through hearing the word of God, there was conviction. At some point, there was repentance. There was baptism. There was infilling of the Holy Ghost. And more, perhaps, as the Spirit willed. But it required an effort from the on behalf of the listeners to actually take this word and believe it and act upon it. Amen. At every moment, from the minute you decided to give your life to Christ to wherever it is that you stand today, there's been a door of faith open. And yet another door. And yet another door. And yet another door. If we could visualize faith in that way, when you say, well, I think this is about it. This is about as far as I can believe. God says, nope, you can push a little further and you can open yet another door of faith that just brings you to a whole other level of your faith. Amen. So if you would stand at this time with me, please. To close, we have to know again what our purpose is. We have to understand the consequences of unbelief, and we have to get tired of not believing. We cannot forget our purpose. We cannot allow our hearts to be hardened by the works or ways of this world. And we cannot allow weariness to take over our minds and hearts. Jesus is here tonight to renew our faith. Amen. Jesus is here tonight to renew your strength, to renew, amen, your relationship with Him. If you've strayed away or have contemplated straying away, He's here to receive you back home this evening. Amen. He is here tonight to fill us with His Spirit. Amen. And I say that the enemy is not happy when we take these steps of faith. Amen. He's not happy. He won't be happy. That's my timer. I told myself, I can't go over. Amen. Praise God. But I don't want to alarm you or scare you. Amen. But instead encourage you. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." But God has given us victory over that. Amen. God has given us victory. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith has overcome this world. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And with this said, I invite you guys, or I open up this altar, amen. If there's anyone that needs to say, Lord, help me, or Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. If there's someone that wants to step into another door of faith or needs a door of faith opened as it was opened to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 14. If there's just someone that needs that deliverance, that miracle today, amen. I don't know what your need is, but God knows it. And I know that all we really need to say is, Lord, help my unbelief. Just an ounce of faith and calling upon the name of Jesus is enough to move angels, to move the Spirit, amen, to act upon or to act in our favor in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We come before you, Lord, thanking you, Jesus, for this word.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.